You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. As I keep telling you guys, if you want to support the show, hit the link in the description of the show to pre-order your copy of NBA 2K25, because it helps us to keep doing our thing. And we are back. It's myself, Mamoonsi, alongside me, the dynamic duo. It's my favorite backcourt. The point guard, Mr. BJ Armstrong, and the shooting guard, Parking Lot Perry. How you doing, brother?
You might have that reversed, Mo. You might have that reversed, because he used to take a lot of shots now. He took more shots than I took.
Hey.
You got him at the point. You got him at the point.
if we play, one of you better be feeding me the ball on the post. That's all I know. One of you better be feeding me the rock. That's all I know. But we got to talk about some Olympics. Since we last spoke about the Olympics, 6 games have occurred. Canada beat Australia 93-83. Spain beat Greece 84-77. Germany beat Brazil 86-73. France beat Japan in a close one 94-90. Serbia beat Puerto Rico 107-66. And the United States defeated South Sudan 103-86. Where do you guys want to start with this? What really caught your attention? I think for me, it was that France game against Japan. What about you guys?
Tell us about it, Mo.
Well, I didn't expect it to be so close. It went down to a 4-point game, and it was a 4-point play that ended up ultimately winning it for France. And Rui Hachimura had a spectacular 24-point performance before being ejected for what they deemed an unsportsmanlike foul. Now, the FIBA rules of unsportsmanlike fouls are very much different to the NBA's flagrants and technicals and so on and so forth. You know, if you intentionally foul someone in FIBA who's on the fast break, they call that an unsportsmanlike foul. So the rules are a little bit stricter. But it was a great effort from Japan to hold their own, really, until overtime against the French team. Wembanyama had 18 points to go along with 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. But scoring-wise, he wasn't helped too much. Strazo off the bench had 17. Yabusele gave them 13. Great to see Yabusele, former Boston Celtic, out there on the court. And Evan Fournier gave them 14. But it's interesting because their second half of that game, they started without Rudy Gobert because Japan were getting hot from behind the arc. So they wanted to have more flexibility on that perimeter, which was interesting to me. But did you guys catch the game? What did you think?
Yeah, I saw that game with Japan. And I just want to talk about one person. Victor Wembanyama.
I mean,
what else is there to talk about? I mean, we are seeing, I'm just going to say, I think he's the best player in the NBA. He really is. And to watch what he's doing, the fact last year that he wasn't in the NBA, All-Star game.
I know that bothered
me. I'm still stuck on that. That how can we have a player like this is not in the All-Star game? Like, I don't know what's going on. Maybe just something is going on in my city when he plays that looks amazing. I mean, this young man easily could have been the defensive player of the year last year. Okay.
Yeah.
And the fact that he wasn't an NBA All-Star was like, okay, well, I mean, he's the best player. And to watch him now in what the first 2 games or 3 games or whatever it is thus far, he's just been incredible. So Wembanyama, this is when you say a coming out party, they say, you know, people are coming. No, he has arrived. He's here now. he's here. And he is without question. This is for the next 10 years or so. We'll just figure out, you know, who's going to be up beside him, but he will be leading the charge. He's the best player in the world, and he's only getting better. That's what's – so I'm going to say this. You better beat him right now. Better beat Wembanyama right now, because in the next 10 years, Scott, all roads are going to lead to him. He's just that good. And I'm going to say this. This is the one thing I didn't know about him. I didn't know he was this competitive. I didn't know he had this competitive spirit with him.
Well, that's why you know he's going to be great.
He has a competitive spirit that you see that only the elite have. He's got a spirit about him where you know he wants to win every time he steps on the floor. So this has been great to watch. I'm watching everything he does. And if I'm an executive, I'm trying to figure out how to beat this young man because he's just that good.
But BJ, when February 2025 rolls around, you won't be angry anymore because he will be in the All-Star game.
Let's hope so.
And when the awards roll out in May and June of 2025, I'm putting my money that he will be the Defensive Player of the Year next year. So mm-hmm. We haven't even mm-hmm. thrown up the ball. So those two things, I think, will take care of it. And I think you'll be able to settle down a little bit.
I hope so. So, he's fantastic to watch.
Yes. Well, another player that's been really impressing, maybe not to the level of Wembanyama, but Scott, one of your guys, Mr. RJ Barrett, led Canada to that win over Australia with 24 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. Talk to me about RJ, Scott.
Way to cue that up, because that's where I was going, Mo.
Hey, man, I can read your mind.
I've been on long enough. I think you and I are starting to get
here. We in sync.
Man, couldn't be more proud of a player than I am of RJ Barrett, man. This guy just continues to improve, get better. You know, this Canadian team, first, let me talk about the team a little bit before I really dig the drill down on RJ. Their team, when it comes to perimeter play, they can really match up with Team USA. They are tough, physical. You know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander arguably would be the best guard on the floor if and when these two teams match up in the Olympics. You know, we've talked about him a lot, being an MVP candidate. Is playing well. He, you know, obviously he's the leader of that team. But RJ Barrett, man, he has been consistent, steady. I think first night, 23, second game they played, 24 points. He's knocking down the three. And it's been, he's always been strong and getting to the basket. He's been very efficient. He's playing multiple positions. But I love, you know, the other perimeter guys, Lou Dort and
Dylan Brooks.
Man, those are two tough wing defenders. They're as tough defensively, physically and mentally as we have in the entire NBA. So they're going to compete with you. And then Jamal Murray, the game I watched, the last game I watched against Australia, didn't even start. You know, he played a lot down the stretch, and we know him. He's an NBA champion. And hasn't been named an all-star yet, but definitely plays like an all-star.
I think we already established in this episode that all-stars don't really matter anymore.
Exactly. So the only thing that team is lacking is enough size up front. If they had a legit center, you know, the Kelly Olynyk is more of a stretch five that we talk about. Kim Birch
was huge for them in that fourth quarter.
Yes, he plays extremely hard, but he's an undersized center.
If only they took Zach Edey with them.
Oh, if they look with young Canadian next time around, yeah, next time around, I would believe they'll probably add Zach Edey. This Canada team is the team to watch. They've got 10 NBA players on their roster. So, you know, obviously the USA is the only team more stacked than they are, but playing well, a lot of confidence. They're going to be a tough out. Again, if the interior is the one thing that I'm a little concerned for this team, but again, fun to watch and really great to watch RJ Barrett do his thing in the Olympics thus far, and hopefully he continues that kind of play for the Canadian basketball team.
Now, BJ, we know how much you love Wembanyama, but another player that you love, Giannis Antetokounmpo, his Greece side are now 0-2. I mean, he put up a huge 27 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals in the loss against Spain. But it's going to be real hard for Greece to progress in this competition now. Spain, who maybe didn't look like the Spain of old that we know, managed to get the win with 19 points from Santi Aldama. They had 11 from Willy Hernan Gomez. They had Fernandez off the bench with 10 and Sergio Yul, the veteran, with 13 points off the bench. Whereas Giannis didn't get any scoring from his teammates in terms of double-digit scorers, except for Toliopoulos, who had 14 off the bench in 17 minutes. A real struggle here for Greece. They had quite high expectations. And obviously, when we're talking about that best player in the world conversation, we talk about Wembanyama, we talk about Jokic, we talk about Doncic, but we can't not talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's looked amazing, even though his team haven't picked up the results here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a team game. And no matter how great one individual is, it's going to take a team and a team effort. And no disrespect to anyone there on the current team or in the current roster, but they're just not talented enough to be able to contribute in a way that's going to warrant winning or give them an opportunity to beat. I mean, these are really good teams. Now, Giannis is Giannis. He's playing fabulous, but you're going to need a team, especially in international play. And when you talk about playing at the elite level, they just don't have the talent to do it. But Giannis is looking in midseason form right now, and he's without question, he's in that conversation. I expect him to have a phenomenal year this year, but as far as the international play and then the Olympic play, they just don't have the talent that some of the other countries have.
Yeah, the depth of the squad now.
I agree.
Scott, you, I don't think you were here on the episode when we talked about Jason Tatum not being featured in the USA's first game. But I wanted to get your take
on... You mean not being played.
Not being played at all.
Right, exactly.
But he started today's game against South Sudan. And Anthony Davis also started, which meant Drew Holiday and Joel Embiid went to the bench. And Joel Embiid ended up not playing at all in the game. Bam Adebayo led Team USA with 18 points off the bench. Just an all-round dominant display from the Americans. LeBron had 12, Booker had 10 to go along with 6 assists, which is nice to see Booker playing his role there. That will help the Phoenix Suns this season. Kevin Durant, 14 points. Anthony Edwards, 13 points. Derek White, 10 points. And they even gave some minutes to Tyrese Halliburton as well. How kind of them. Mm-hmm. What was your takeaway from this one for the USA?
You know, first of all, I really liked how this team shared the basketball today and how they defended. You know, going back to my coaching days, one of the things that I stressed to my team all the time, there were three areas. And BJ, I think you can appreciate this. Defend, rebound, and share the basketball. And when you get a talented roster like that, that executes these three areas at a high level, they're going to be difficult to beat. And that's what we saw a glimpse of today. We saw Anthony Edwards extending the court, picking up full court. You know, obviously Drew Holiday can do it. I tell you what, Derek White has come in, and I know that's one of your favorite players, Mo.
Mm-hmm.
He has really contributed to this basketball team, hit a number of big threes in this game. He obviously is going to give you the defensive presence, 94 feet, played well. The biggest take, and the last big takeaway I had as you watch the game, what team in the world, when they go to the bench for the first time, can bring in Kevin Durant, Bam Adebayo, Anthony Edwards, and then I said Drew Holiday, you know, in the starting backcourt from the world champion Celtics, both Holiday and Derek White. I mean, it's no team internationally has that kind of firepower when you're talking about Durant and Anthony Edwards coming off the bench and ability to score. Plus, they both can defend. And then Bam Adebayo, the energy that he brings and how hard he plays and competes, you know, he's just a winning basketball player. And his guard counterparts, both White and Drew Holiday, same thing. And they really, to me, changed the complexion of the game and just really sparked his team. And then so when the starters came back, I think it was really infectious how they played because, you know, they fed off the energy that second unit really brought to the table. Because, look, hey, and let me give a little shout-out again. I know we did last time with the South Sudan, but Royal Ivy has that group playing hard, believing, competing, because they came out in the second half.
They cut that 24-point lead down to just 10.
Yeah, yes.
Got a little scary. Nuno Omot doing what? 24 points.
They didn't go away hiding, and they still have an outside chance of, you know, making it to the quarterfinals.
Yep.
Yes. So they played hard and they're athletic. So, but anyway, USA did what they needed to do. If they continue to share the ball, defend, and rebound and not turn it over as much. They still, I believe they had 15 turnovers today. Yep. That's got to come down some. But other than that, they had to be pretty pleased with how they played. And so we'll see moving forward.
BJ,
how they go.
You weren't a fan of Jason Tatum getting no minutes. What are your thoughts on Embiid getting no minutes tonight?
Well, you know, when you look at this and you see players that play and get, you know, every year we see 12 players get invited to the All-Star game. And as a coach, you got to find a way to get those guys there. And just out of respect that these 12 young men have all given their sacrifice, their time, effort, energy to come here. And I just feel it's enormous responsibility to the coaches, to the head coach and the coaching staff to figure out how to utilize these young players during the course of a game, right? I get it. Everyone can't play 40 minutes. But when you talk about not playing, Jason Tatum is a first team right. All NBA player.
NBA, right.
Okay, now, I get it. Everyone wants to play, get a play in a rhythm, get a sweat, play through their mistakes. I get that. But as a coach, you got to figure it out. You got to figure, you mean you got Halliburton and Jason Tatum. You mean to tell me you can't, you're up 26 or whatever you were in that game that they did play, that they can't figure out, come on and figure out how to play. Maybe someone doesn't get his traditional 10-minute run. Okay, he gets a 6-minute run instead of a 10-minute run. But that's on me as a coach. That's leadership. That's leadership. And you have to figure out how to do that because all of these young men and all of these players have committed to one thought and one idea, which is to win a gold medal. And it is my job, or I've taken on the responsibility to saying, I got to figure out how to utilize these very, very talented players. So I just think it's unacceptable when you look at it. Now, if a player is hurt or he needs to rest, okay, that's another thing. But if everyone's healthy, I got to figure that one out because of the commitment. And they've practiced. Mm-hmm. They've done everything that you asked them to do. And then travel
halfway,
family,
halfway around the world.
Well, Embiid was getting booed by the French fans during the warm-ups, and he was toying the crowd, and then he didn't get to play.
You know, and it's interesting because they played Halliburton, so that made it, you know, they talked about this 10-man rotation before, mm-hmm. but he was the 11th guy to play today. Mm-hmm. So he did play. Embiid was the only one that didn't play. And you're right. As I was listening to BJ, it brought up in my mind, I just heard Charles Barkley just yesterday talk about this same thing. And one of the things he said with the Dream Team back in 92, that Chuck Daly made a point going into it. Now, obviously, they won by an average of 44 points or whatever. But and even though they were just 40-minute games, he said exactly what you said, BJ, that Chuck said, look, all 12 are going to play every night, even if it's 1 or 2 minutes. And they had a college guy on the team in Christian Laettner. but everybody had dedicated their time. You know, you're not getting paid to go over and play there. Now, obviously, a lot of these guys will benefit commercially, you know, off the court.
And they get paid if they win the gold medal.
They get paid if they win the gold medal?
Yeah, they get a few hundred grand.
Okay. Well, they're gonna get that now. But I don't know that when Barkley and those guys, did they get paid that much money? BJ, they didn't get paid. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure, you know, look, who knows?
Yeah. But
not
a couple
hundred grand.
Right. Exactly. But my point is that, you know, to kind of piggyback what BJ is talking about there, you know, you figure it out. I know it's a 40-minute game, but everybody on this roster is an all-star with the exception of Derek White. And he's a star in his world role and an NBA champion. So to me, you can't be afraid to put any of them in the game.
I can't put an NBA all-star in the game.
Sorry, in the game, exactly.
I don't know what happened there. Sometimes, look, we've all made mistakes and we go, what, man? Maybe he just had a moment. We all have had our moments. But moving forward, we got to figure this one out. You know, I can't imagine going to an NBA All-Star game and the coach say, hey, I just couldn't figure out how to get you in. You know what I mean? I can't figure this out.
Especially when you're winning games by like 20 points. Like, come on.
I couldn't, but it is what it is. I'm not trying to harp on Coach Kerr, but let's move forward and say, let's figure it out, guys. I get coaches like to, some coaches are capable of being in that hot seat and you got to confront, but you got to be a truth teller in this situation. Maybe I can't get you that 10-minute run, but if Kevin Durant, like he was in that game, in that particular game we're talking about here, or we are referring to, somebody had to get their minutes cut short. This man was perfect from the field. That's understandable. And then somebody else might have to get their minutes cut short. So you got to figure that out as a coach. I know we come in with these game plans, Scott, Mo, we come in and we say such and such is going to play. You know, I call them the video coaching thing. You know, guys make substitutions no matter what.
Right.
In this scenario, you have to like coach that game. And you got to figure out what needs to happen at that minute and figure out how to utilize this team. So let's move on. They won today.
Yeah, we've got some NBA business to talk about. Luke Kennard agreed to a new one-year $11 million contract to stay with the Grizzlies. He's a career 44% three-point shooter, provides spacing and shooting. I don't think we need to talk too much about that. But, Scott, I've got a question for you.
Always a job. It's always a job for a shooter.
Always.
In today's NBA.
Always. I've got a question for you. Are we completely clueless in what we talk about? Because we sit here and we keep saying Cavaliers need to pick which guard they're going to keep and which big they're going to keep. Yeah, they gave Evan Mobley this massive extension, and now they've given Jarrett Allen a three-year, $91 million extension that will guarantee him $131 million over the next 5 years. What are we missing here in that the consensus of almost everyone's opinion is that Jarrett Allen and Evan Mobley is both talented players is not the ideal pairing with each other? What are we not seeing that the Cleveland Cavaliers front office is seeing?
Well, if I'm going to put myself over in Cleveland right now and try to, you know, give you my thought, what their thinking is at this point. Mm-hmm. Jared Allen, up until the end of the year where he was injured, had a very good year. And he's been a player, in my opinion, that's gotten a little bit better every season. He's a true professional. He gets better, you know, and it's hard to let players go. And I believe he's been an All-Star once before, too. It's hard to let those guys out of your locker room unless you know who you're going to be able to replace them with. Obviously, they weren't able to get anything done this offseason in terms of a trade. And I don't know how active they were looking to trade for him because, you know, so much comes up in the offseason about this guy is going to get traded or that guy should be moved. And again, to my original point, this is a true professional you have in your locker room. And it's going to be incumbent upon the coaches and you know, figuring out how to play these guys. Now, the interesting thing for the Cavaliers and for Jared Allen is the guy who was really instrumental in his development as a young player in Brooklyn is now the head coach. Right?
Yep.
And so now that he's the head coach, Kenny Atkinson, you know, I'm sure he probably was really in favor of wanting to keep him. And again, it's a large contract. I mean, you're talking about an average of $30 million. Now you have a roster this set that went to the conference semifinals. Their probably internal belief is that had they had Jared Allen for the playoffs in that second round, maybe they, you know, I don't know if they would have overcome the Celtics, but they are a more formidable playoff team with him. And when you look down the line, you've got a couple contracts, you know, to be able to trade very good players, you know, if you had to package them to bring something back. So if they decided to move on one day from both Garland and Jared Allen. Now you've got a lot of salary to go get, you know, that's in tough. Theory, a star caliber player to put with both Donovan and Evan Mobley. So it doesn't bury them at all. And again, it ensures that this team is going to stay at least in that middle of that Eastern Conference, be highly competitive, and with the break here or there, be able to make a deep enough run in the playoffs.
BJ, how does this impact the development of Evan Mobley? Because, for example, we've just spoken in this episode about how good Derek White is, but he really got the chance to showcase that once Marcus Smart had been moved off the Celtics roster. Do you think that this retaining of Jarrett Allen is going to impact the development of Evan Mobley's game?
Well, I don't want to be disruptive to the Cavaliers coaching or their front office, but I just happened to be in the gym this morning and Evan Mobley just happened to be in the gym.
Okay.
I spoke to Scott, I don't know, 7 a.m. or so of my time on my way going to the gym. Mm-hmm. And Evan Mobley and Isaiah Mobley, his brother, they showed up to the gym to work out. And they just happened to have played open gym today, Scott. And that's why I was running a little late, because I just want to see what I need to see without any other distractions, mm-hmm. no narratives, no anything. Okay. I'm just going to tell you guys what I saw. This is it. I didn't talk to Evan Mobley. I haven't spoken to anybody. I'm just telling y'all what I saw. Mm-hmm. Evan Mobley is a center. Mm-hmm. He's a center. Mm-hmm. Now, I think you guys will be pleasantly surprised when you see him. He's filling out a little bit.
That's good. You can tell that's the only thing that's missing. Yeah.
You can tell that he's working out on his body. Mm-hmm. He's never going to be, you know, like a Jokic or anyone like that. Shaq,
right?
But
right.
he's filling. He's beginning to mature into his body. You can. But I know what I just saw. He is a starting center, no doubt about it. He's an anchor. I was just watching mm-hmm. him today. Mm-hmm. He is he's not a four man. He's a five. He's an anchor. Okay. Mm-hmm. And watching this, you can't tell me that no one else in Cleveland he's been in the league now 3 years. You can't tell me that they haven't seen this. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that when you watch him on film, like we know these coaches, they're watching mm-hmm. thousands of hours of film. They don't see mm-hmm. this. I just saw it in they must have played, 8 to 10 pickup games. Mm-hmm. He's without question, he's a center. There's no doubt in my mind. I watched him today, and I just watched him because I was interested in this question, and now it just happened to come up. Mm-hmm. What does this signal to me is here is the front office making sure that they secure Jared Allen at a number or the value in which they feel they can move him on to get mm-hmm. a good enough player back. Mm-hmm. Right? You don't, whatever that number is, whatever it is, to me, this signals a trade is coming. That's what that signals. There's no doubt in my mind where Evan Mobley is. And Jared Allen is an all-star, but Evan mm-hmm. Mobley and Mo, how many years have I been saying this?
Every year,
Evan Mobley, until he becomes the best player on the team, they're going to continue to be a first round or second round or whatever. What did they do last year? Second round? Is that what they did last
year? Second round. Yeah, they lost.
When Evan Mobley becomes the all-star that I think he is, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's other people who may feel the same way about him. This young man is he's a star. I mean, I just watched him today. He's a star at the five. He's mobile. He's agile. He can block shots. He defends. And he can anchor a defense. He just does it naturally. Mm-hmm. He's not a perimeter guy that wants to hang out on the perimeter. He mm-hmm. wants to anchor the defense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what that signals to me is you're going to have to move Jared Allen. I think you're going to have to build the team with Evan Mobley as the five. And I don't know what they're going to do at the guard position. You know what I think about Donovan Mitchell. I've been saying mm-hmm. this forever.
Mm-hmm. Play him at the
put
one.
Him as the lead, play him at the mm-hmm. one and become a mm-hmm. big team. Mm-hmm. So that's what I see. But there's no doubt in my mind they can sit there and sell it as a four. And Evan Mobley is a great kid. He probably won't say anything publicly. But I know what I just saw in that gym. I know what I just saw. Yeah. I saw an all-star five who is elite in today's game, can play small ball, big ball, whatever it is you want to play. He can do it. And as he continues to mature and fill out physically, I just think he's a major problem. Yeah, I think he's just a major problem.
That was always the key with him.
Yes. Yeah. But right now, I just saw him. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. Again, I didn't know that Jared Allen signed. I didn't know any. I just said, oh, wow. Here's a guy as a five. Here's a guy. Mm-hmm. I just saw him literally a couple hours ago. So now that's what it signals to me. I could be totally off my rocker, but I know what I saw.
No.
And you can't. And if I'm sure, if I ask Evan and if he's in the gym tomorrow, I will ask him.
Hey, ask him to come on the show. How about we'll hear from him.
I'm not trying to cause any controversy, but I know what I saw. So if I was there and Scott and I were in the front office, I would be saying, Scott, I think he's a five, man. Like we may want him to play the four, but I think he's a five. He just naturally does it. He's just a five, man, and that's okay. You can win with him at the five, I think.
Yep.
Yes.
I hear it. Appreciate you guys.
That's gonna be fascinating to watch too.
Yeah.
Because we mentioned you definitely have a tradable contract or contracts to like I said, go out and get a big star if you're Cleveland. That puts you in the mix for that. But it'll be interesting to see.
As we say, a disgruntled player, right, Scott? That puts you in the
I do not like that terminology because, like, I would retort, if the player is disgruntled in one place, what makes you think he may not be disgruntled at your place?
And I'll tell you what, Scott.
And always assume that he'll be happy when he comes to you.
I'm not saying it
hasn't worked, but still. It's not a foregone conclusion.
That doesn't only apply to NBA players, Scott. That's a life lesson. That's a life lesson right there.
See, Mo knows how to bring it back to.
No, don't be bringing the drama into your house. That's what I'm going to say.
Exactly.
Hey, Scott, not that anyone would do this, but when I was looking at you, Scott's been knowing me my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I see a great player, I always imagine how to build around that player. It just automatically comes. Mm-hmm. And you know who I thought when I saw him that would fit with him?
Fit with Julius Randle.
Yes, it's Julius Randle.
Oh
yeah.
Oh no, they would be
they complement each other.
Mm-hmm. No question.
Julius plays bully ball, but Evan Mobley, he plays physical, but he's not a physical guy. You know what I mean? Like he's not afraid of it.
No, no.
But if you could compliment him with someone like that so that best of him and you can maintain a physical level of play.
That's a good call. That's a good call.
And when I saw him today, I was like, wow, that would be a good player to compliment each other on both sides of the ball. I'm
not going to speak much on that because boy, you want to speak on New York faithful.
I'm just using this as an example.
Exactly. No question. I get you.
A physical player. No, we're not going to take Julius Randle.
But you're right. I agree totally with you. Julius, you're that type of player who's physical, attacks the rim, but Julius is capable of stretching the floor. That type of player. And like you said, Evan can really pass the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
He just does a lot of things on the court. I think one thing that I'd like to see Evan Mobley do more of, and he started to do it a little bit in the playoffs, is just get more assertive and aggressive at looking for his own shot. And maybe it's starting to come now. To your point, you're seeing him there physically. He's starting to get stronger, and he's going to be able to sustain some things a lot better. With added strength,
and I told him this today. I said, how you see players, you'll see him one summer and then you'll see him the next summer. Well, he's walking with that confidence this summer. Like he's playing.
This is year four. This is year four.
This is year four. This is the summer. Like I saw him. You know how you see a player and they don't say they're the best player. They just come in and act like they're the best player. Well, he carries himself now like he knows he's the best player in the gym. It's interesting to watch because he's a quiet kid, but he's playing with a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
And you can tell he's much more confident and assertive at the five than he is at the four. And the reason I believe is because he has an important element to his game in addition to his length, which is his speed. At the four, he's not always faster than the guy he's playing against. At the five, now he can assert something that he knows, for the most part, he will be one of, if not the quickest guy at the five position every single night.
Right.
In addition to his length.
And guys, you know, that's what makes it so hard to project next season when you're talking about, you know, who's going to win Eastern Conference, Western Conference, because over the summertime, and I've always believed this, this is where players make the biggest jump individually with their games is during the offseason. Not in season, it is the offseason. And guys that really commit themselves, dedicate themselves to getting their bodies better, improving their skill level. And I love to hear, BJ, that they were playing five-on-five basketball because I don't hear that much anymore, man, in the offseason.
Unfortunately,
I love that. I love that.
Scott, there's no gym I'm going to be a part of where we don't compete. I
love it.
I'm sorry to all of the training and all of the things that you do today, but hey, Scott, you know what I love today? You know what I love today? Mo, you would appreciate this. Whenever I'm in the gym, we have a rule. You call your own fouls.
Oh, I love that.
Okay. And you know what, that's old school. You know what was great? You know what was great about today? No one called a foul. But when there was, every time the games were to seven today, and Scott knows what that means. We have about 20, 25 guys in the gym. So, you know, when the game gets to 6-6, there was always a foul and there was always arguing. And I loved it. Like, I had so much fun listening to the arguments and the trash talking and the defense. And it was just so, it was just so refreshing to let the players figure it out. Like, argue.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love it.
That's awesome.
I love it. That's the essence. And if you guys at home want to hear arguing, I'm sure we'll get to some of that as the season gets underway. So subscribe to the show on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. It's not always this friendly. So I'm looking forward to that.
Mo, it's the off season, man.
Scott, you would appreciate this. What did the kids say? You know, there were some choice words that this is a family podcast. So there was a lot of choice words. But one of the kids told the other kids today, he go, "Hey, man, I don't see Magic Johnson here," and walk down to the other end on a 6-6 call.
I love it. I love that on so many levels. Exactly.
That's energy right there.
Oh, man. Hey, man. I love that Scott and I know what that means because Magic got all the calls.
There's no question. I love that, boy. Oh man, that's awesome.
That's another episode. Appreciate you both, fellas. Appreciate all of you tuned in. Make sure you hit the link in the description to get your copy of NBA 2K25. And until next time, you guys know what it is. Get buckets.